Hey everyone, and welcome back to your daily Linux and open source news show. Today we'll start by talking about GNOME, and GNOME 47 is apparently going to have even more HDR work than expected. A new patch set has been merged for Mutter, which is GNOME's compositor and window manager, and it will allow reading the color temperature from the color manager, it will let the compositor apply HDR calibration, and it will let you set the color space. It basically also contains all the groundwork that will be necessary to let GNOME actually enable great HDR support in the future. For now, it probably will not give you any form of option in GNOME 47 to turn on HDR with just one click. It will still be experimental. You will still need to start a command line after GNOME has started to actually enable this experimental mode, but it is still progress. And there's another merge request that hasn't been merged just yet, but is still marked for inclusion in GNOME 47. And that is to handle HDR white luminance as a variable and to set the HDR content brightness as well. Both of those things are necessary to display SDR and HDR content side by side, with HDR content looking suitably bright and colorful and SDR content not looking completely washed out. Of course, like I said, this is far from done. GNOME 47 will very likely not have any visible toggle that you can click to enable HDR. You will have to enable that experimental preference. And until Wayland actually has a color management protocol, which is not finalized at all yet, even KDE's more advanced implementation will be resting on some kind of shaky grounds, because while they will contribute to the protocol, there's nothing that assures them that the protocol will go in the direction of what they've actually started to develop, so maybe they will have to rework some of the stuff that they've done. Still, this preparatory work is necessary to help reach a good state for the aforementioned Wayland protocols, because the more implementations you have of this thing, the more people encounter the actual problems in the drivers, in Wayland, in the window managers, in the compositors, and this makes the Wayland protocol actually probably easier to define and write once you know which pitfall not to jump into. Now, ElementaryOS saw some progress towards the release of ElementaryOS 8. First, they've now renamed both sessions, the X11 session and the Wayland session, in the login manager, because X11 and Wayland, it will only really be legible to anyone who's familiar with Linux, relatively familiar with Linux. So the X11 session is now called compatibility session, because it grants better compatibility with a bunch of applications, and the Wayland session is called secure session, because, well, Wayland is a lot more secure than X11 by default. I feel it does a good job abstracting the current benefits and drawbacks of each system. It's not necessarily entirely representative of the benefits of Wayland or the benefits of X11, but it's a way to present them in a more legible fashion. There was also more accessibility work on the onboarding app to make sure that you can navigate it using the keyboard and with a screen reader. They have tidied up packaging for a few things. For example, they split the Bluetooth daemon from the Bluetooth indicator. They're now packaged separately. The phone viewer is now shipped as a flat pack instead of a native package, so it's easier to keep it up to date, and other things like that. And if you use ElementaryOS 7, you also got a few nice updates, because most default apps are shipped as flatpaks. So you got a facelift for the video player, the text editor gained a few options and features, and you also gained support for the color picker, the screenshot, and the screencast portals in ElementaryOS 7 for flatpak apps, and the music and camera apps also got some updates. As per the release of ElementaryOS 8, everything is now in the stable repo. They should be able to build the first early access ISOs pretty soon. They're apparently just waiting on finishing the window manager protocol that handles their new dock app, so it can work properly on X11, not just on Wayland. And so they say that ElementaryOS 8 should be out in September if everything goes well. And obviously, I will test it. I will test ElementaryOS 8, not because it's a major distro, because it's really not, it's a very small one, but it's the distro I started this channel with 6 years ago. And even if it doesn't necessarily fit my own needs nowadays in terms of a desktop or a distro base, I will always have a special fondness for ElementaryOS. I love what they're trying to accomplish. I wish they had more people contributing to it and making it faster because, well, they have a bunch of good ideas. They have some bad ideas too, but they have a bunch of good ideas. They just don't have a lot of people to help them be implemented. So I hope maybe with Elementor OS 8, they gather a bit more attention. And that's also why I will cover the distro. I fully expect a lot of people to say, nah, it's like GNOME Lite, I don't like it. But at least it will bring some more attention to the project because I think it really deserves it. It's another way of doing things that is not GNOME, not KDE, not Cosmic, or not the old way of doing things like Mate and stuff like that. So I like what they're doing and I will definitely cover it on the channel. I just hope they don't have to delay again and again like they usually do with Elementor OS. And to conclude today's episode, it looks like it's finally happening. Chrome is starting to block any Manifest V2 extension, or at the very least, they're starting to warn people that these extensions will soon stop working, including extensions like uBlock Origin. This, of course, is caused by the transition to the Manifest V3 API, which is much more limited, but technically more secure. Some users have apparently seen notifications telling them that certain extensions they had installed in Chrome will soon not be supported anymore, and generally these are ad blockers and tracker blockers. The warning also offers advice to tell users to remove or replace these extensions with similar extensions from the Chrome Web Store. Now, the Electronic Frontier Foundation said that Manifest V3 is not necessarily more secure than Manifest V2 because it still has a bunch of problems, and Google on their side said that 85% of extensions have already moved to the new Manifest V3 API, probably to say, see, it's not a problem. The problem resides in the 15% that haven't transitioned yet because this 15% include, notably, powerful ad blockers, and these will no longer be able to exist in their current form under Manifest V3, and so these tools will inevitably be much less effective at blocking ads and tracking. Now, this change should affect any web browser that depends on the Chrome Web Store for its ad blocking. So virtually every Chromium browser, except I think for Brave, which has an ad block baked into the browser, not as an extension, but everything else that relies on the user downloading an extension from the Chrome Web Store will very likely be, well, screwed over by this transition. Firefox said that they will keep building support for Manifest V2 on top of adding support for Manifest V3 for compatibility with newer extensions, so you will still be able to add block on Firefox as you were able to previously, but every other Chromium-based browser should suffer from this. In the end, chances are that Chrome, Chromium, and most of the other Chrome versions, like Brave, like Vivaldi, and whatever else, will lose out. Maybe apart specifically from Brave, because if I remember correctly, they do have their own ad block built into the browser, not as an extension, so they don't rely on the Manifest API extension. Maybe other browsers will start developing this as well, maybe not enabling by default, but letting users enable it if they want to. Not sure. This is still less choice for users. And I hope that this will bring the regulators' eye, no matter the country, probably the EU, let's be honest, because Chrome currently has an absolute monopoly. Even if you don't count Chromium-based browsers, just Chrome, there's a huge monopoly with Chrome on the web. And so this needs to be regulated. It's nice that the US courts recognize that Google Search was a monopoly, but Google Chrome also is one, and it should absolutely be regulated because these kinds of changes are all in favor of Google and not in favor of consumers or the web or choice or just freedom of using the tools that you want. So yeah, if the EU or the US could just throw an eye at this thing and start regulating Google, that would be pretty nice. The web will be a much better place for it if Google can be prevented from doing this kind of sweeping changes that affect virtually everyone because everyone uses their products. Anyway, this will conclude today's episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. As always, thank you all for supporting what I do, and I guess you will hear me in the next one tomorrow. Bye!